There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that...
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, and away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. And lots of ways to get in touch with the show, but let me give you some of the more popular ones. The phone number and the text line, they're the same, 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through. Also, if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, that's like a multi-tool, a Leatherman for your phone, because it does lots of things. You stream the station on there, our podcast posts there first, our show schedules are on there. But in addition, on the front page, you'll see a microphone icon. If you'll mash that, y'all, it lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. So keep those handy as we go through this show or any of the other shows 7 days a week, live shows right here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, this hour pretty special, and good to get these two men back on the show. Joining me for a discussion of what happened, we talked about it a good bit this week, what happened at Quantico, Virginia, and a meeting, I don't know, something to me that I kind of thought like it was coming from the bad guy perspective in a James Bond movie where we've got all the leadership in one place, but they were all in Quantico, and you can't say SecDef anymore, I guess SecWar, Pete Hegseth, addressing the generals and admirals there. To talk about that, joining us now, Troy Carrico, who has been on with us many times, a veteran, Army veteran, and Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia joins us as well for this discussion. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Troy.
So first thing, I guess we'll go Sergeant Major first on this, and your reaction to what you saw on Tuesday and the address made to the top brass.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Well, it was an activity that was overdue, much needed. Glad it happened. Had me wanting to go down to the barbershop to get a haircut, get back in uniform, and rejoin. I think for the most part, although we may not hear that specifically from the active duty component or the personnel that were inside that room, it was very motivating and rejuvenating for them as well. You know, because from previous leadership, many of those leaders were hamstrung with what they could do, and that is the change. So there was really two reasons for this big meeting. One, it was a wake-up call and a call to action that we're getting busy. Here are the priorities, and let there be no mistake about it. And then two is if you felt that you were limited or restricted in executing your leadership abilities to get these troops combat ready, I'm telling you right now that you're not. So go train, get them ready, because that's what we owe America.
And Troy, your reaction to this, I mean, you've got a piece coming up here at 1819 News. They can read through this. I was reading through a little bit of it. So your reaction to seeing that?
Well, I think one of the things that became apparent, and I'm myself and a couple Marine Sergeant Majors and a couple other crayon eaters, as I call them, we have a little talk group. And I think some great things have come out of these senior NCOs and then me being a major. And then we have a lieutenant colonel and a colonel. And it's neat to see the perspective. But here's my thoughts. There's been much ado made about this in the civilian press and on social media from people that don't know crap from granola, okay, to be honest
Thank
with you.
Thank you for the edit. Yes.
What the culture is. And Brian, myself, both infantrymen, were every day, if you're not doing something to prepare your men for the mission essential task list, then you're failing in your job as a leader. And 15 years plus of derelict, abject, counterproductive activities, philosophies have been embedded into our military. The good ones get out before they go too far, and you're left with the ash and the trash, and mediocrity rises, and that's what we've got right now in a lot of these command positions. And it's well overdue. And if I'm going to be honest with you, our national defense posture was compromised as a result of that cultural rift that was going on, and they're trying to fix it. So I feel very good about it. And I would say this, we've already seen the results, haven't we, Sergeant Major? We had the four-star from Air Force already resign. He didn't think he could pass the PT test, I'm thinking. So, you know, the message they sent was, bro, you're fat. And get in shape.
Right. I would come back to that, because I think this is interesting as social media has erupted with that, and why should the generals be, you know, or the admirals be in shape? But the thing, Sergeant Major, you said, and Troy said this as well, is recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
And the recruiting numbers had already been trending in the right way since Trump came in office. But this is what I'm hearing from men like y'all, that this is going to be a big catalyst to this. Do you think we're going to be maybe telling people no who show up to sign up?
Yeah, no, this is huge. It's a big step in more ways than not. And recruiting and retention is only one of them. So while there is recruiting on one end, those who are already in that were undecided about reenlisting, I think we'll see those statistics jump up as well. If the deal, I've said this kind of to myself as an investor, if the DOD had its own stock after that speech, the market would have went vertical. I think so. And that's the feedback I am getting from fellow veterans as well. It was overdue and it was needed. And, you know, and so back to Troy's point, Sean, with all of the hyperbole and the social media chaff and flare with, this was a huge mistake. Why would he bring all of these senior leaders into one spot? This is regular business. This is done all the time. Now, the first of this magnitude, but commanders bring in their subordinates. There is no way that SecWar could have went out and visited each general command throughout, you know, the world and delivered this same sort of speech. An email would have been cheap in leadership. So that delivery would have gotten massive blowback. He needed to look at them face to face, eye to eye, and also give them an out. You know, those were marching orders, and that's why they came. So the folks on social media, Sean, that are saying nobody applauded, it was a total failure. They didn't come there to applaud. It wasn't a pep rally. Right. It was marching orders, and you know. So I think folks, once they understand the sort of the environment and the apolitical posture that our military has, may help answer some of the skepticism they have of, oh my God, there was no applause, there was no cheering, there was no motivation, and everybody in that room is unhappy. It couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, look at this from civilian perspective too. I've been making jokes about it. There's like a James Bond plot where we have all the military brass in one place, and the inspector says, "Now we're going to get them." But to look at this, it's the benefit is, instead of going to all the different generals or an email where it can be spun and interpreted differently, the same speech went to everybody. Y'all can give me a military perspective on it, but just as a civilian, I said, okay, everybody got the same speech. So there wasn't like, oh, well, I didn't hear this, or they told me this.
Right. You know, and just to jump off what Sergeant Major said, you're right. Yeah. And here's the deal. The laborious nature of him having to go out to each of these COCOMs and these commands would be impossible. Bringing them to him also gives him the uniform, conventional message, and it also gives him a chance to spend 1 minute, 2 minutes with each of them, look them in the eye, shake their hand, size them up, and figure out whether these are people who are on board with the program or not. I really believe that. There was a lot of assessing going on, spotting and assessing with those generals.
You tell them about morale booster here, and you're talking. So I know enlisted folks looking. I've heard big morale boost.
Big
within the ranks, though, of the top brass here. Is there? You work at a job wherever you're at a whatever widget factory, and there's Bob over there. Bob slacks all day, every day. Bob gets the same pay. The team gets the same pat on the back. But you know that you and Jane over here, y'all bust hump. Bob's over there slacking.
Yeah.
It kind of, in a civilian context, brings down morale. I can imagine maybe in the brass, if you get rid of those people, you also probably have a morale boost in the top.
Well, Sergeant Major knows what I'm going to say. I think that the people don't realize the military is the most socialist organization in our country. You get free meals, free, think about it, free medicine. You got, you know, you're told where to be, what to do, and your part. So you've got a lot of people in the ranks that are looking for leadership, looking for meaning, looking mm-hmm. for substance. And one thing that the Sergeant Major said that you cannot, it's one thing to recruit someone, it's another entirely to retain them after you train them for 3 or 4 years when their commitment's up. It's called stay Army, stay Marines. What you got to keep those people in those spots because you're getting brain drain and you're starting all over again. And so, yes, you're right. To the average Joe and to the infantryman, about time, I think, is what they're saying. What do you think, Sergeant Major?
I think that scenario that Sean was laying out, you know, promotions are going to be overhauled as well, both officer and enlisted. That's being worked right now within the Pentagon. And I think we'll come out and see more of this based off of performance, not just past performance, but future potential. So those guys that you were describing in your vignette who were slacking will evidently be cycled out, you know, and like the chairman had said, it's clearing all the debris.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that when we come back in the break, too, what this means in morale, but then what that equals in readiness yes. going forward. You know, and a lot of people said, well, the reason everybody was called together is we're about to go to war, you know, but I just want to know that we're ready to go to war so we don't have to go to war. We'll talk to the two warriors when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:21, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along this hour. 343-0106 gets you through. So Major Troy Carrico, you can read his work over at 1819news.com. Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia, our guest this hour, and talking about what happened in Quantico, Virginia earlier this week with a, can we, maybe you can say it now, a come to Jesus meeting.
Exactly what it was.
And that dressing down, or not even dressing, just standard setting, right?
Setting the standard.
Y'all said, yeah, I think you called it marching orders, you know?
Yeah, it's marching orders. It's standard operating procedure now is we're preparing for battle. And you said something before the break. You wondered if this was a precursor for war.
People, the chatter was, oh, they brought all these generals
right.
together.
After telling Putin the day before, hey, we'll shoot down planes. I think you should shoot down planes over NATO.
Which,
right?
By the way, gentlemen, it was Denmark. Now it's been, they were over Munich, Germany the other day, these drones. Yeah, Bomb just got back from there. I was like, they shut down the Munich airport. I mean,
there's
he's pushing.
There's three Danish soldiers missing on the Russian border, too. That just came in today.
And probably before we finish up, we're going to cycle back to that because I'd like to get.
But my thought was this: this is not a precursor to war. It's a preparation and a validation that your war trace mission is doable. Meaning, you've got a mission essential task list. Let's see what you can do, and if not, you got a lot of remedial training to do. So
okay, well, I mean, if the remedial training brings you up to where you're supposed to be,
that's where you need to be because our national defense posture has been compromised by the culture that has been bred for the last 15 years.
Hey, y'all explain that to me, Sergeant Major. Take it first here. Like, I watched it from afar, and it seems like foreign governments would go, look, they're interested in everything but doing the job of the military. I somehow convinced myself that was an outward view, and what they didn't really know is how ready we were. Do you think we were ready or not?
Well, if you're honest with yourself, he's not looking for perfection. I think he said that on stage. He's just looking for leadership to be good. We will never be perfect. There'll always be areas and room for improvement. And even though you may be a commander with with a unit that's got some pretty glaring reviews of success. So, you know, I would say that meeting was not also to give them some marching orders. It was to get rid of complacency. It's easy for a commander and his or her sergeant major to say, my God, we just had an inspection. We had flying, you know, we got through this with flying colors, and, you know, our stuff don't stink, and we're all that in a bag of chips. And we all know that complacency kills. Yep. So it was another soundbite, although it may have not been said, to say we got work to do, and we got to do it now. You know, I really liked when SecWar said, the enemy gets a vote. We, Chor and I, know that all too well. Yep. You know, you don't get 51% of the vote, man. And and they don't care what rank you are, what race you are, what MOS or AFSP you are. You know, you will be taken out in a heartbeat just by the very uniform that you wear and the reason why you're over there, posturing for a country. And so anyway, again, I can't applaud the SecWar enough. Now, look, I'm not a big fan of him. I thought that when President Trump brought him in and appointed him or nominated him to be SecDef at the time, I thought a mistake was being made. You know, I would give an apology when needed. I was looking at more of a, you know, a more maybe qualified individual. But he, you know, he really proved some bona fides the other day when he brought all of his generals in. And that's what leaders do, man. He's responsible for our military. He's responsible for the men and women. And, you know, when he said something like, we fight not because of what's in front of us, we fight because of what's behind us, he's referring to that, just that, the American people, the kids, the mm-hmm. sons and daughters that we train and have a responsibility to equip and bring back home safe and sound.
You know, I think with watching this with the marching order standards set, and we talked about those recruiting numbers, I think the fact that it's tougher to do brings more honor, therefore brings more recruits, right? I mean, the old, like, I've joked, I don't want to be in any club that, would Groucho Marx say, I don't want to be a club that had me as a member. But, you know, you look at something, I mean, we have this, growing up, I had this view of all right, that person, just because I know that by their uniform that they serve, that they're, I could go through a list in my head of, they are these things, right? That just uneven, unspoken, they are these things. And I guess that really
is a standard.
You made it. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Most people want to test their mettle. Be a man amongst men mm-hmm. is kind of the motto of the infantry. And it is. And I think something that was really critical that the SecWar said as well, I got to get in the habit of saying SecWar.
I'm trying to teach myself.
I know, SecDef. He's still SecDef, but he's still SecWar. Whatever you want. Its name is a name. But it starts, he said, with no more complaints, no more machinations on us, on false charges for sexual harassment, all that. I'm tired of it. No more walking on eggshells. What was that?
Sorry? Sergeant Major?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, no more stress cards, no more dual standards for females in combat arms positions. I mean, yeah, PT tests twice a year. Okay, no waivers. You got to do them if you're an 04, an 07, 08. And Sergeant Major will tell you that in a lot of units, the old man, he gets a pass. He doesn't have to do the PT test, which that's not really in the culture that I grew up in the infantry, but a lot of units that happens. So you get guys that are mm-hmm. Mark Milley corpulent, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, I mean, and we could go back. I talked when this first came out. I said, well, we can go back and look at generals of old, and we could, you know, we could pick on McClellan or Winfield Scott or something like that, you know, in different days. But, you know, to have that person that is there because of merit and knowing that they could probably still do it if they needed to, it garners respect for those they lead.
How can you lead if you can't lead from the front?
Right.
You know, that's the motto of the infantry. So follow me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the average listener and reader, Sean's got to understand that, yeah, you know, no one expects the general, the admiral, the sergeant major who are in their late 50s to perform as well as they did when they're in their 20s. And so the physical fitness scores have been tailored and adjusted mm-hmm. by age also that allows, you know, someone like me that was coming up on my 37-year mark, my body just won't perform like it used to, but I can still pass the physical fitness test and show that I'm physically capable to perform my duties. And the same score, we all get run very, very hard, and the body breaks down at some degrees. And so, yeah, this was a huge. Now, one thing that disappointed me was Secor, when he was talking about personal appearance, had got on the generals to say, frankly, I'm tired of seeing fat generals walking around the halls of the Pentagon. And, it was an unfinished sentence, because he should have also followed and said, I'm also tired of seeing fat sergeant majors running around the halls of the Pentagon, too, because we have a few of those, and they're going to get weeded out. Again, another implied task here for them, Sean, was to give them an out.
Hey, Sergeant Major, hold on. We're up against the hard break. We'll be right back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along this hour, and we'll get some text here. One I'm going to get to before we even get to talking again, but text line, phone line, 343-0106. Guest on this hour, Major Troy Carrico, read his work at 1819news.com, Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia, our guest as well. And gentlemen, just react to this. This is Chris, and this may be more for Sergeant Major first, but I'm sure Army wants to chime in on this. So Chris says, my father-in-law, when I was 18 years old getting married, walked his daughter down the aisle. Gunny Sergeant Savage, United States Marine Corps, he wrapped his body, his torso, in shrink wrap so we'd have a flat stomach for his dress blues. Whatever it takes.
That's maybe,
and maybe I need some saran wrap. That's what I'm going to do. we're talking about this. We went to the break, Sergeant Major. You got cut off a little bit, so go ahead and continue that thought.
Yeah, Sean. Troy, let me pass it over to you, because in that short break, I've already forgot what my thought was.
I think where you were headed, Sergeant Major, was there was a sense of urgency for this mm-hmm. to happen, because there was the pending government shutdown, and that we felt that people thought it was haphazard and thrown together, but I think it was anything but that. I think it was clearly planned. I think that they gave enough lead time to get people into – get the administration underway, and then the culture had to change. And I think that you're right, Sergeant Major, that there was a – it was very, very planned. They knew that the shutdown was coming. There would be a curtail of government travel during that period.
Right, so those top brass couldn't travel during
That's
the
right.
shutdown.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, speaking of that, having you two men on here, so when the shutdown happens, and many of my listeners, their children, either they're serving or their children serve, and said, what are we going to do about, pay? And we can go to it's a bumper sticker material. Congress is getting paid while the people, in frontline positions are not out
Katie
there.
Katie Britt's not, though. Katie Britt said she sold my paycheck.
She
like
said
her.
Today, and it's constitutional, the reason they get paid. Yeah, so they could go back and change that. But what do you tell families, in this situation?
Sergeant Major, you've been through some shutdowns, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been through... quite a few of them, and we've always got through it. I mean, the military plans this as a contingency. No one goes sort of bankrupt. There's no need to push a panic button. You may hear troops on social media talking of, now I got to go down and get SNAP, or I'm at the food bank. There are contingencies that all the service branches have, with Army Relief Society, the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, that has set aside funds to help offset some of the pay that they would not be receiving until the budget is signed over. Hopefully it won't last that long, but there's contingencies in place. Nobody is going to be no junior enlisted troop should be on the side of the road with a sign saying we'll work for food.
That's right.
Get a couple of these texts in here too. This one from Fire Dog, and he is with y'all. He's one of your fellow veterans out there. He says, I do hope, as part of the reorganization that Pete Hegseth is doing in the military, also comes with a plan. What I mean is that by that is a 3 or 5 point step plan to rectify somebody being overweight, some sort of coaching with very clear goals in mind. I'd like to see if some of these people that are overweight or not doing their job can be turned around, not just summarily dismissed.
You know, and it's funny that he wrote that. Here's the deal. There's plenty of programs when you're on active duty for nutritional counseling, for all of these things. Here's where I think things get sideways for the military. And Sergeant Major, correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't wear those little sexy, silky running shorts you guys used to wear in PT. But here's
separate you two.
I love that, man. Anyways, one of the things I don't know, a lot of active duty Army units, when you are a warrior, you're PT, you got 2 hours at the gym, go work out in the morning and come into the office. And you got to make sure those people are doing their PT, because a lot of the fobbits, as we call them, the people that stay inside the wire, they maybe aren't doing that. And then case in point, I was on Tyndall Air Force Base here recently with Robin, and we were driving, and there they were at Friday playing Ultimate Frisbee for PT. And I'm thinking, that's not a thorough PT program. But, you know, what do you think, Sergeant Major? I think there's a malaise in some of that. I don't know how it is in the Corps.
Yeah, War Dog brings up certainly a great point. And there are programs already in place that can help an individual recover back from, let's say, surgery or a medical procedure that would cause them to drop in their PT score, you know, because of that surgery. The services also have the BMI added into the weight as well, because you can have an overweight service member who scores an extremely high physical fitness test but be out of standards by the height weight chart.
Through the neck.
And be considered to be, expect to be reprimanded. And we just can't have that. That makes no common sense whatsoever. So the BMI comes into place as the percentage of body fat.
Yeah, and if they can process how much of that's muscle. I tell the old Mark Ingram story, Alabama running back, that he showed up as being, if you looked overweight. At his height and weight, he was overweight. And I'm like, that man is anything but overweight.
I was overweight most of my career in the Army. I mean, because I weighed muscle-wise. I weighed 215, 217 at 5'11". But the neck, they do the neck and then the thigh thing. And I was, you're fine. So, yeah.
What Hextech said on the stage was, you know, we're getting rid of the zero defect sort of mentality. Mm-hmm. And the one and you're done. So if someone's caught overweight, it's not a zero defect. Well, we're going to administratively separate you or discharge you under other than honorable conditions. I'm sure there'll be a recuperation period. I mean, we have to allow that in basic training to all the service branches. There's no reason why we can't do it. Right. In the bigger service as well.
Yeah, I guess I am trying to kind of process what Fire Dog was saying. This idea of maybe this person is really good. You know, give them a second to get it turned around, and this is somebody who's going to, once they're, this directive, this new mission is coming here, that they're going to get turned around. Let's not lose those people.
Well, even in basic training.
Absolutely.
Yeah, even in basic training, at least in the Army, there's remedial training units, meaning if you go to report to Fort Benning and you're not able to do your chin-ups, your pull-ups, you're saying they put you into a holding unit and they get you in shape. And that could be done on a different scalability, I think, at our end-user war trace units.
Now, looking at this going forward here, too, war readiness, right? And that is a thing that they've got to have all the basics. You're talking about the PT and everything. I do look at, people say, well, it's a technological warfare out there, which I wish we were making small drones here instead of just the big ones. I mean, you look at what they're doing with those out there. But, some of these folks that are serving are in a position where they'll say, well, they don't need to be. The major, the sergeant major, they need to operate the drone or whatever it is.
Cyber warfare.
Yeah, kind of cyber warfare. And if we do this, we're going to lose our best operators. I'm just throwing out some of the things I've heard.
Sergeant Major, what's the answer for that? It's for the good and for the unit. You got to have the conventionality. What would you say to that? I know what you
Well, SecWar used one of our own terms, and I'm not. harping on my own service brand, you know, you got to have the mindset of every Marine is a rifleman.
Rifleman, that's right.
So regardless of your specialty, you have to have the competency and skill set to be able to pick up a weapon and perform your Title 10 duties to defend those on your left and right.
Amen.
Talking about getting in shape. So another one of y'all's fellow veterans, Sean, texting in here, it reminds me of some stories too. He said, I used to laugh before weigh-ins when the heavier fellas knew that they would fail, so you see them jogging in those airtight sweat bag things 2 weeks before to lose 10 pounds. I'm built like a praying mantis, so I never had to worry about it.
Sure, yeah.
You know, the other place we did the trash bag thing, people in the city, well, we did it for CYO football in the city of Mobile because you could only have a certain number of players who were over a certain weight. They were called stripers, and there could only be two on the field. So they made, I believe back then, I was not having to do it. I was not big, but the bigger boys on our team had to run with garbage bags on them to try to cut
the thing about wrestling and high school wrestlers and college, you know, getting that weight down.
This is, it is good to know that there's a standard and that standard is going to be applied equally.
It will be.
Right, that's the thing we're asking for. Like we said, because people said, well, it's anti-women in the military. If that woman passes the same level of then.
But here's the thing, though. In the PT test, it's not just a pass-fail. There's levels. There is a standard, you know, 60 percentile or 70 percentile or above. It used to be on the old APFT. Now they've gone to more combat drills, fireman carry, all this stuff. And the thing is, it's not it's very doable. It's a very doable, achievable minimum score for most people if they're really dedicating themselves to trying to be in shape. So.
By the way, this is from a retired CB. Navy CB.
Like
Carl says, when Reagan became commander-in-chief, we had a bunch of overweight guys in the battalion. The order came down to get in shape or go home. The ones that didn't get with the program weren't missed. So
there's more to eat at Chow Hall, too.
Well, as, you know, somebody asked that earlier, too. Let's see. This texture says, speaking of free meals, as a civilian, I'm just curious to know what the military provides our folks in uniform. That's definitely part of fitness for their food. Like,
For officers, it's different than enlisted and like sergeant major and NCOs. I have to pay for my uniforms. I have to pay for my food when I eat on base and stuff. Yeah, the officers are required to get to pay for uniforms and for dress uniform, for combat uniform, any of that stuff. And then meals. The enlisted get that all.
And they're like, I guess it's a person's asking, are they healthy meals?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think they are. Well, we were. I don't know. Now, I know the Air Force has ice cream at the end of every meal, and that's why they have a problem.
Okay, I'm waiting for the Air Force guys.
I'm joking. I love the Army Air Corps.
You get everybody mad now.
I do.
The food quality over the years, from when I first signed up, has gotten much healthier.
Yeah.
And, I mean, although when you go out in the field and you have to consume sort of the field rations, there's a limited menu for that with the MREs or the C rations. That hasn't changed over the years. But the dining facilities have gotten much healthier with both quality and portion control. It's the self-discipline comes into play with the fast food restaurants that are on the bases and posts and stations. And, you know, so it's easy to get overweight if you don't exercise and control your diet. I mean, it's for everyone. But if that happens, like, your texters were saying, Sean, it's not the end of the world. If they don't score as high on a PFT as the next guy, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world for them. It just means that they may not get promoted as fast as the one who scores a higher PFT. You know, it's all performance-based.
Yeah, this is maybe the oddest segue I'll have done this week, but I think it makes sense. Sergeant Major, you mentioned fast food places on base. And talking to one of my buddies, we were talking about Bagram. And he was talking about what Bagram was like when he first got there and by the time he left, like the city that had popped up around.
Too many Sergeant Majors running around there, if you ask me.
He's Major. Yeah. This guy, he's one of those.
British judge, everybody.
And he described Bagram when he first arrived and then decade later, what it was like. But you talk about the fast food place. But that segue getting into President Trump saying last week or the week before that we want to get Bagram back. I mean, I get it just looking at it that Bagram was so very important, but saying we're going to get it back. Gentlemen, tactically, how the Sam hell do you do that?
It's on a plateau. It's why it's
everybody's told me how awesome
it's
it is.
Perfect.
Right? But how do you get it back?
You just go back and kick some ass and take over, man.
Yeah,
We're American.
You know, I don't know. It probably goes back to Sekou's explanation of the four instruments of national war was the acronym DIME. And while Hegseth wanted all of his uniformed folks to focus only on the M, the military aspect of it, there was a diplomatic piece into Bagram. Speaking of Bagram, I would tell you that if this speech to all of his generals and that sort of mindset change took place 4 years ago, I don't think the Afghanistan withdrawal would have been as abysmal as it was.
It would not have been.
No, I mean, I looked at that, but once again, from a civilian perspective, I watched it in the days leading up to it, and I said, there's no tar on the heels of these guys, the Afghan Defense Force. They're falling in every city and every battle, turning and running before the battle even engages. And it was like, it seemed to me like it was almost by design, this failure, you know, that came from the top.
To answer your question, if you want to get Bagram back, you send in the 75th Ranger Regiment. That's our job, is to capture airfields.
Airports, I know. Airfields. Y'all are good with the airports. Yeah. But, I do look at that. I mean, capture it, and then you're an island. It's the Berlin airdrop.
But it's
everything's
so
gonna come in.
Barren out there. You can hit anything from miles.
Right, but I'm saying, but supplying, you know, not having routes, being the old West Berlin of old.
It looks like it literally looks like the Old Testament, a goat path just going right through this little valley here, and there's a little couple shanties, and there's not a lot of, the Corps of Engineers built a lot of ring roads for trillions of dollars of spending over there.
I don't know technically if Afghanistan, you know, since the president ran out and the Taliban sort of took over, if it's even still, you know, kind of deemed
necessary
in a legal sense as a sovereign nation. You know, so it's complicated, I would imagine. How do we take over that airfield without force, hopefully, but I'm sure it's pretty complicated. Somebody up there in D.C. has got an answer to it.
I think we need to appeal to my Machiavellian brother and say, what should we do here? What is good for America is our strength being usurped. But I'm just...
We've
talked about this before.
I'll read this before we go to the break, and we'll come back. This one, response here from the Air Force side. Fire Dog said, the Air Force ice cream was top-notch.
It is.
Not our fault that the others couldn't spell their names correctly on the ASVAB and had to go into the Army or Marine.
That's right.
So there you go. You get the Air Force firing back here.
That's what I got.
As we talk about what happened this week up in Quantico, our guest, Major Troy Carrico, Sergeant Major Brian Battaglio, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And big thanks to Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia. He had to go to an appointment. I have held over Major Troy Carrico for a little bit of time here. Read his work over at 1819news.com. Piece coming up soon here.
Yeah.
New one dropping.
It's going to deal with what we've been talking about. And it's just from a warfighter's perspective. And again, it's an opinion. That's exactly what it is. But I think that I would caution everybody who's watching from the outside in, this was necessary, and it is not. It's not seismic in terms of morale or anything of that nature. It's just setting the standard, as you said, the marching orders. This is what we're doing going forward.
To the text line here, B-Dark says, how do you feel about females on a submarine?
Well, let's see. 100 sailors go out, 50 happy couples come back. No, that's a joke. I have no problem with females serving. Now, I was in infantry. I did not have females of any type in any of my units. Even our combat support units, they were rare. So I don't have a problem with it. I've never commanded a new. Listen, those bubbleheads, we call them, the nuclear submariners. That's a tough job. But yeah, I have no problem with it. But
Okay. Maximus says, he said, the U.S. just hit another Venezuelan drug boat, speaking of war footing. So I hadn't hit one in a while. You're talking about war footing, and the rumor mill, too, has been like, oh, we're going to go invade Venezuela.
I don't think that's... I don't think this
is where I come from, because so many of my friends and their children serve. I'm like, whatever John Bolton wants us to do, I'm usually the opposite.
Yeah,
because he wants to send y'all everywhere, sure, and I don't want y'all to go everywhere.
I don't think that's the case. I think, in fact, people talk, oh, it's about oil. Do you know how bad their oil is? It's terrible. To refine it would take much more research. It's not about oil. It's about the narco-terrorism piece and the fentanyl. There has to be some effort made to circumvent that. But I think what you want to watch, though, is I know we ain't got a lot of time to talk about it, but what's developing right now with Russia and Ukraine, it looks like this could change drastically here if tomahawks are given.
Yeah, this idea that, it's this Overton window. I've watched this through the whole conflict. Like, okay, we're only going to help you this much. We're going to give you this, but not this. Then 2 months later, well, okay, the thing we said, we're going to let you do this, but we're not going to let you do this. And then the next month, the pressure's like, okay, y'all can do all this stuff, but you can't do that. It just keeps moving. We've learned.
This could have been fixed 2 months ago, 2 years ago, 3 years. We just had no coherent foreign policy again. I've talked to you about this ad nauseum. America has failed to have anything but a pragmatic foreign policy. And that doesn't work in world affairs today. So, yes, you're right. And I would say this, though, that the proof's in the pudding. Putin, they have reached terminal velocity. They cannot achieve more by just throwing bodies at it now. Now it's stalled out. Putin had a chance with Trump, but he kept peeing on his leg and told him it was raining, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He kept telling him it was raining, and finally Trump had enough. And now all bets are off.
So we'll see. It is worrisome with the drones well over NATO countries.
It's crazy.
You have them crash into Poland. It's Article 4. They're not quite 5. But
jet fighters and bombers over Finnish and Norwegian territory.
All right. Well, hopefully this stays theory and not active. Always good to see you.
It's good to see you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, we'll have you come back soon. Troy Carrico, read his work over at 1819news.com.